Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. We got some great fun lined up for you this hour, and we're also going to get some great information out there for you as well as we speak with one of our Wisconsin Rapids mayoral candidates, along with one of our candidates for Wisconsin Rapids School Board.
That's right.
Me joining us to wrap up the show in the last half an hour. Looking forward to that. For now, we're going to get into a bit of entertainment news to kick things off.
All right.
And we'll talk Oscars in a moment. I want to recap the Glass Menagerie with you a little.
Okay.
Talk about this amazing podcast that has a new episode they dropped today.
It's an amazing podcast.
We got all that coming up. But we start with Pop-Tarts and Tony the Tiger.
Jeez.
Right? By now,
natural combination.
Yes. By now, you may have heard that Jerry Seinfeld is producing, directing, and starring in a Netflix movie about the creation of the Pop-Tart. It's called Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart Story, and it comes out May 3rd.
Okay.
In Empire magazine revealed an interesting bit of casting. Hugh Grant is playing Tony the Tiger. What? Okay, not like a real Tony the Tiger. His character is, quote, a disgruntled Shakespearean actor who, much to his chagrin, finds himself having to don the Tony the Tiger outfit. Jerry says, quote, that was the greatest part of the whole thing, honestly, because I am a crazy fan of his. Hugh asked me if it matters that Tony the Tiger has a British accent. I told him, no, who cares? There's two sides of this, too. Like, for one, Hugh Grant didn't start out at, like, the Hugh Grant we see in interviews and all that now. He obviously had a moment where he got in trouble and almost got canceled, didn't have work for a while.
Yeah.
And that I think that honed him not only to appreciate what he has, which I've heard him say in interviews many times, and I really admire his self-awareness and his self-reflection and a lot of that. It also made him really bitter. It made him very angry.
It did, yeah.
And to be fair, what he did was against the law, but it wasn't one of those things. Like, in today's day and age, I doubt it would have gotten him canceled. Let's be honest.
It
wouldn't have helped him. It wouldn't have wouldn't have helped his career by any means.
No, but
I don't think people would have we're not casting him in this or it's not so much not getting cast in future projects that certainly hurts. But one of the biggest things that can happen when an artist is quote unquote canceled or whatever is I'm signed up to do three movies. Not anymore. You're not. That's the real kicker. And that's what happened to him, and I think that that's part of it. So now you're getting a very, very real, genuine Hugh Grant, which is fun in some ways. He has some funny moments on the red carpet and some of that. You're also getting some moments of, hey, Hugh Grant's kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and so there's a little of both.
At least there's a little I appreciate the honesty there. You know, he's not putting on airs or anything like that. But at the same time, we're going to call you a jerk if you're a jerk. I mean, that's what's going to happen.
I think that it's also a note that he was able to come back.
He was, he's working, he's doing jobs, you know.
The comeback story is still the biggest thing America loves. Ever. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing bigger. Apple pie, baseball, anything you want to throw out there, there's nothing we love more. Maybe nostalgia.
Yeah, right.
Maybe nostalgia is the only thing that we love more than a comeback story.
Okay, I had to look it up because I couldn't remember. You know what? I don't care who does Tony's voice now, because the original Thurl Ravenscroft, who did it for years until he passed away in 2003, he was the one. So I don't care who does it now. You know, if he was still alive, then it's like, oh, no, you got to have Thurl do it. But it doesn't matter anymore.
Seth, I wish I voted. I've never been interested in gambling or anything. Only time in my life I wish I had. The only time I have ever wished I was gambling. I got done with my class yesterday, and I look at the highlights and who won from the Oscars last night. And I see, oh, I voted for that one. Wait a minute. I voted for that one. If there was like 100 categories, I got like 95 of them. Like, it was crazy.
I've never nice seen that happen
before.
Nice.
Never had that happen before. Never even close to that before.
Right.
We're usually way on opposite sides, me and the way the Academy votes. Interesting thing happened during the Oscars, and we'll go over the results in a moment. Oftentimes, when you're going into a year like this, where there is such a overwhelming favorite, and you figure is going to sweep the awards, oftentimes Seth and I are voters, and I think, okay, just as example,
yeah, right.
I think, oh, Seth is probably going to vote for Oppenheimer. I want to make sure the poor things is represented, so I'm going to vote for them. And then somebody else, and Seth thinks the same thing. Well, James is going to vote for Oppenheimer.
Your second choice, right? Yeah.
So the second choice ends up becoming the winner, mm-hmm. or the oftentimes the lead. So I think that that's part of the reason why you don't see even more of a sweep oftentimes with movies.
That's got it. That's probably part of it, yeah.
And this happened in a couple of situations during the Oscars, I believe, during the Oscars. I don't have the, obviously, I don't have the numbers, and I don't know exactly. But I in my theory is this is what happened.
Reveal the numbers.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
We want to know how they should, with the percentages. I want to know.
They should. They should not be. It's stuffy. It's old school. It's not a way to do it. It's not the audience.
Dude, the Baseball Hall of Fame reveals now what the percentages are. I mean, they're the stuffiest institution ever. Come on, guys.
What's the biggest thing the Oscars is trying to do and wants? Ratings.
Exactly.
Tell me there wouldn't be more ratings with that.
Are you kidding me?
You're telling me there wouldn't be more ratings. We love numbers. We are a logistics or a number based society.
Yes.
You can't put up you can't watch any sport nowadays without seeing some kind of numbers come up or something.
Right. So morning shows are going to talk about this regardless. But just imagine if they knew how close, how close this was.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
How much jet buzz that would generate, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. They should do it.
Looking at the big ones here, Best Picture, Oppenheimer, Best Animated Feature Film, The Boy and the Heron, Best Director, Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer, Best Actor, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, Best Actress, Emma Stone for Poor Things, Best Supporting Actor, Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, Best Supporting Actress, Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers, Best Documentary Film, 20 Days in Mauer Pool, Best Documentary Short, The Last Repair Shop, Best Adapted Screenplay, American Fiction, Best Original Screenplay, Anatomy of a Fall, and for best, I wanted to get the song in. Best original song, best original score, Oppenheimer. Best original song, What Was I Made For? Billie Eilish and Phineas O'Connell, her brother, her partner,
yes.
in writing there, won for that.
Cool.
So, and I wanted to make sure to mention too, best short animated film, War Is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko Ono. I did get to see that acceptance speech. Sean Lennon was there too.
Really?
He's an executive producer of the movie.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And it was great to hear him say something. And he actually wished his mom a happy 91st birthday and got the whole audience to wish Yoko a happy 91st birthday, which was a little awkward, to be honest. But it was a sweet moment. It was a boy wanting to wish his mom a happy birthday. I didn't think about Yoko's fame or what Yoko's meant in pop culture or any of that. I saw a young man wanting to wish his 91-year-old mother a happy birthday.
I have to mention this because I saw, there was a viral thing about he asked his mom what she wanted to do for her 91st birthday. Mm. I can't repeat it on the air. Look it up. It's hilarious.
I'll have to look that up.
Yes.
I'll have to look that up. So just a couple of quick notes on this that I wanted to make sure to get to. Divine Joy Randolph, you may have seen her in Only Murders in the Building. Mm-hmm. She played a detective on that show.
Yes.
She has been working for so long to get work. Just get work. Just get noticed. Get out there. And there are so many times. She is actually going to be a singer. She mentions this in her speech. I've seen her talk about this in interviews before, though. And her mother insisted that she'd go and audition because there's something for you over there, honey. There's something for you over there. And thank God that she did. She's such a good actor. And look what happened with her. There's another theme for today. Hope, faith, these things. When you stick to it.
Well, you mentioned it on the Sunrise show about determination, because you were kind of touching on this stuff. Man, she is – not only is she a fan, she's so good in Only Murders in the Building. And the fact that she had basically three strikes against her to get started, the way Hollywood views people and what we can't use them for this. Can't use them for this. The fact that she is now where she is. It's inspiring.
Yeah.
It's an absolutely inspiring story.
Beautiful speech.
Yeah.
Beautiful speech. Very well done.
And listen to her singing.
Yeah.
She has a fabulous voice, too.
She has a fabulous voice, yeah. And she's funny. She's
very
so
funny.
Dang funny.
Yeah.
She's a really good actress. The Holdovers, fantastic movie. I felt a little – the only category that I voted for where the person won that I wanted to, but I felt guilty for was the best lead actor.
You got Paul Giamatti.
I really wish it could have been a tie. It may be the only time I've ever wished for a tie before, right. Because I thought Paul Giamatti's performance was incredible, mm-hmm. just incredible. But so was Cillian Murphy's for Oppenheimer, and I'm very happy for Cillian Murphy winning his first Oscar.
That's really cool.
Emma Stone,
another guy who started as a musician or tried to make it as a musician.
Yeah, that's right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's really remarkable to see where his career started and where it is, and it's one of the greatest performances I've ever seen. His performance as J.D. Oppenheimer. It's one of the best I've ever seen, period. Especially in a biopic or anything.
Yep.
Emma Stone winning for Poor Things. This is her second Oscar, and it was a bit of an upset because most people, like myself, voted for the young lady from Killers of the Flower Moon.
Mm-hmm.
I think what happened was so many people thought she was going to win that they voted for Emma Stone. Again, this is why I'd like to see the percentages and everything.
I have a question for you about just a general voting. Is it vote one?
Yes.
See, maybe ranked choice voting would also help, too, and that kind of thing.
That's the lead-up. Mm-hmm. You do it into the lead-up.
Oh, for the nominations?
Yeah. I agree with you, though.
Maybe they should just do it all the way through.
Well, I think ranked choice voting should be the case for everything.
I agree.
Whether we're talking the presidential election or
any election,
So I'm a little biased on that one, but I don't think I'm wrong either.
No.
But I thought Emma Stone's speech was beautiful. I thought she did a really good job. She was very humble for it. And look, I think that the young lady from Killers of the Flower Moon should have won. Emma Stone was right there at number – it's 1A, 1B.
Mm-hmm.
Emma Stone is one of the better young actors in the game. And while she may not believe it, she deserved it. Well, she's good.
She's got such an interesting, you know, she seems like a very grounded person, Emma Stone. If you hear her in interviews and stuff, she has a lot of fun with what she does.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why she feels that way. Like, she's like, maybe a little, you know, guilt there. It's like, well, you know, but I'm enjoying myself. How can I, you know, that kind of thing.
I'm very, very happy for Best Adapted Screenplay winner, American Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
We need more of that. One of the best speeches I've ever heard was his acceptance speech, where he was talking about, hey, you know, give things like this a chance. This is a story that nobody would have written or produced or anything like that at one point.
Yeah.
Now we're getting more and more of this stuff. Hey, he says at one point, hey, Hollywood, instead of making one $200 million film, why don't you make like 20$10 million films? You know? And it's such a great point, man.
It's a great point.
Need more people saying that. And need more greenlit shows like the greenlit movies like that and everything. It's a good movie, too.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Wright. Incredible. Like, he just gives better and better performances every time you see
another
him.
Another fabulous actor, yeah.
Congratulations to Christopher Nolan for his first Oscar for Oppenheimer.
I just realized this. I can't believe he hasn't won one before.
It's shocking.
It's shocking.
He's one of the world's best directors.
He is.
Congratulations on winning his first. And this is the one he should have won for.
Absolutely.
It's great. And I am going to take a moment to talk about Robert Downey Jr.
Okay.
Because I have rambled and mentioned too many dang times how I worked with him for like an hour or two. One night. Actually, it was like 3 hours, but it's still.
Say, it was on a set. It had to be more than that.
I've mentioned before how kind he was, how he made he was so personable, so vulnerable, and so like interacting not just with me, but with so many of the extras and everybody.
Generous is the word I think I would use. Yeah.
He is the ultimate carnival barker. It was raining. It's 1 a.m. Nobody was happy. Nobody wanted to be there. All that stuff, except for me. I'm jacked. I'm excited. I'm the only, like, kid you not, if you did a lineup, I'm the only one smiling. He got everybody's spirits up. He got everybody. Now, he could have just been sitting in a trailer. That's not part of his job to do that. Mm-hmm. But he did that stuff because he believes in this stuff, because he believes in the craft, he believes in acting, believes in creativity, and believes in supporting creatives.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that Robert Downey Jr. is going to probably go down as the greatest comeback story in acting ever.
Yeah.
It's been too long.
Really remarkable.
There's been Sherlock. There's been Iron Man. There's been Dr. Doolittle. We forget this guy was the definition of canceled.
Mm-hmm.
He woke up in a stranger's house. Like, he was. We saw him in court cases. We saw him locked up.
All self-inflicted.
All of it. And part of the reason why I back him, part of the reason why I support him, part of the reason I say all that stuff is because when he wins this Oscar, his first Oscar, maybe his only Oscar, because as Christopher Nolan noted, Robert Downey Jr. is an amazing actor, but his energy and his style, it's hard to find roles for.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the reason why there was no auditioning for the role that Robert played. He was the only person Christopher Nolan went to. When it comes to this, what I always come back to with him, great actor, all the stuff I stand by. His first thing he does with his speech is thank his wife. Say, I would like to thank my veterinarian wife because she took in this horrible, this beat up dog, this rambled dog, and she nursed him back to health and all. Like, I just,
aww.
He gets it.
Yeah.
He gets it. That's not just his wife. That's his the co-owner.
They're full
of
partners
the
and everything. Yeah. Yeah.
I really like, I thought it was a beautiful speech, one of the better speeches that I have seen and one of the more genuine ones. Mm-hmm. And I could not be happier for him and very well deserving.
Absolutely.
And it's a win, not just for him. It's a win for all of us that are trying to make comebacks or trying to that think you're in a low moment in your life and you think, oh, how am I ever going to come back from this? How can I ever bounce back from something like this in this moment? It's so dark right now. It's so bad.
Because you don't know.
You don't know.
You
man.
Don't know what's going to happen.
That's why you got to stay hope. In the game. You got to have hope. You got to have faith. You got to keep going. Wow. And I'm not saying this. I'm not preaching this. I need to do this as much as anybody else out there. But I think it's a wonderful example of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it is. It is. So congratulations to everybody. That was really cool.
Yeah, it was a fun one. It was a fun Oscars.
It
and
was.
Nobody got punched.
That's always, always a plus when people don't get beat up.
Take a time out. We come back. I want to talk a little bit about the Glass Menagerie and some upcoming shows with WRCT and more fun coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show here at WFHR. Seth and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a great start to your work week out there, your week in general.
Yeah.
I'm going to be looking forward to some of the guests that we've got coming in to wrap up our show today.
Yeah.
As we kick off our candidate series, and talking with our local candidates for Wisconsin Rapids School Board, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor, and Nakusa Mayor.
Yep.
We will be joined today by our Tom Terry Muse. He's going to join us at 9:35. Looking forward to that. We'll talk with Tom for about 10 minutes. Afterwards, about 9:50-ish, we will have Chris Inda with us, and he'll be for Wisconsin Rapids School Board. So looking forward to talking with those gentlemen, having them join us. In just a little bit. Let's touch on just some more entertainment real quick here, Seth.
Okay.
Wanted to give a big shout out to Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater for another great successful run for the Glass Menagerie, another great production. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind that the next one, the final main stage show for WRCT for the 24th season is coming up. Auditions for Rumors are today and tomorrow at 6:30 at the Wisconsin Rapids Auditorium.
Start right up again, everybody.
If you've never auditioned for anything before, you can learn more about auditions by going to wrctheater.org. Otherwise, encourage you to get down there, audition, whether you have 1,000 times or you never have before. WRCT is always looking for great people. And I'm going to do something that I don't know if I should do.
Oh, okay.
But it's live radio, and I'm going to go with it.
All right, let's do it.
I am challenging all you men out there.
Ooh.
All of you.
Yep.
Every guy out there, whether you've acted before or not, whether you've ever thought about it or not, we need more men to audition.
Okay.
Period.
Yep.
We need more guys down there. And I personally think that if you are a guy and you are a sports fan, you are missing out. You get older, you can't play the sports you used to. You know, a lot of guys will go to bowling, they'll go to sports where they can still move around, still play softball,
darts.
Things like this. Yes, yes. I encourage you to do something that my father and I have done my whole life, treating acting like it's a sport. Because it is. It is competition. It is not as traditional competition.
No.
It is not about competition, but there is competition involved when it comes to auditioning. Mm-hmm. And it comes to, look, Seth and I have worked on stage before, and he brought the most out of me. He made me up my game. I hope I did the same for you. That's competition. That's sports. There are so many aspects of acting that once you get involved in that you start to realize, whoa, this reminds me of high school when I practiced this or I did this or something like that. Like, there's a lot into it in there.
I'm telling you, team building. You do not, I mean, as much as like you're saying, on any sports field, you know, you have to trust your fellow players, right? To do the right, it is no different in theater. You have to build a rapport with your fellow actors. You have to be able to trust them while you're on stage. If someone forgets a line, you know, to cover for each other and that kind of thing. I mean, in that sense, man, you are so right.
We also are always looking for ways to, especially a lot of people out there, to improve in public speaking, get better at that, get more comfortable with those things. There are no downsides to whether working behind stage or being on stage with WRCT. Mm-hmm. To all you men out there, I challenge you to audition, get on down there for Rumors or any other show that interests you with WRCT or wherever you are in your local theater.
Rumors is 10 characters. I mean, 10 characters. Yeah, and you know, at least half of them men. Looking at the schedule they have for next year, these are all the shows they're doing next year are big. They're going to need a lot of people. So why not start now?
Yep.
Get your feet wet, you know, to give it a try.
Seth, you guys wrapped up the Glass Menagerie this week.
We did.
I got to see the show on Saturday. It was remarkable. I've gotten to see well over 40, 50 some shows on that stage and been a part of many of them. Mm-hmm. That, and I say this complimentary, not as against anything that I've seen before. That was the most original show I think I've seen.
Wow. Wow. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I really, really admired. Because I've been hearing you talk about doing this for quite some time.
Right.
And what you had in your head, getting it on the stage is very difficult and very different to do. When you have a stage that is looking to bring a screen on there, on and off, mm-hmm. and not interfere with the audience's, you know, breaking of you know, attention.
Right,
being in the moment, being in the play, all that. These things are one thing that you try to avoid so much is any distraction on stage. Anything that can throw the people off or take them out of the moment or something like that.
Right.
There's a perfect example of something that could, but it didn't. But
I'm glad to hear that.
You guys did a masterful job. You, Beth, that team behind the scenes, all you actors, of the seamlessness of all of that.
Right.
The way it just went, like, I feel like it's the most unique show I've seen, yet I felt like this was every show. Like, it was done so well, and it was so normal the way that everybody was acting with it, mm-hmm. the way none of the actors, it didn't stand out to them. Everybody just treated it so normal that as an audience, I felt like it was normal. And which made it so unique and so fun.
Wow, I hadn't thought about that, but that's cool.
It was a great set of performances from all four actors. Mm-hmm. Was very impressed with their performances. I do have to send a special shout out to Melissa, who every time I see her just gets stronger and stronger. And I want so badly, and this is more of a comment on roles available than local theater or anything. I want Melissa to have a role she can play where she plays somebody her age.
Yes.
I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that.
It's true. She tends to do that. I want to get a I'm with you 100%. Melissa was the rock. And I'm not saying that because she was better than anyone else. I'm saying that because she's more experienced than most of the people with her on the stage. And so she was the bedrock that we had to build on. And you said it, man. She's just amazing.
She really is.
She's absolutely amazing. And I told her so several times. Thank you. Thank you for doing this. Because I know it took a personal, you know, toll on her because of, you know, how the traveling and all that kind of stuff. So I can't say enough about it. You know, I went into this with an idea of what I wanted. You know, I remembered the show I was in, and I'm like, okay, I want it to be like this. But I knew it wasn't going to turn out like that. In fact, it didn't turn out like that at all. It turned out the way it turned out because of the new voices, the ideas from everybody that, you know, the actors and the builders and everything like that. I got to give a big special shout out to Beth, who masterminded the platform, the rotating platform we had.
That was so cool.
And some of the stuff we did with that was her, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't say enough about the entire, you know, when I was on Over the Back Fence on Saturday, I did another big, long thank you to everybody because it couldn't have been a better experience for my first time directing. It could not. Yeah. And I appreciate everybody. I had so much fun, and I'm glad it seems like everyone else did too. So big thank you once again to WRCT for letting me do it. Everyone that was a part of that, it was great. And I realized, you know, on Saturday, I was like, oh my gosh, I've been with this for like 2 months. You know, like the act of, and before that, of course, you know, thinking of all the stuff and going through the script and everything. So it's kind of interesting now. It's weird. Now I'm letting go of the whole thing. It's like, wow, it's been with me for so long.
Yeah.
But now we're done. And it's, wow, okay, you know. So I'm happy now that I can take a little break. That's nice. But at the same time, wow, You know? All over.
It's a melancholy feeling.
Yeah.
You guys left it all on the stage, and everybody did such an amazing job. And a big shout out to everybody behind the scenes and on stage and WRCT in general.
Yep. Good stuff.
Really well done. Before we go to break, so for you, you kind of touched on it there. Mm-hmm. You feel good about everything? I do.
I feel good about the run just because of how well everything came together. Good. You know, it worked out so well. And I'm so happy, and I'm terrified of my next experience because it's like this game. It can't be like this all the time. It's going to be, oh no, what's going to happen?
Well, just wait until you direct me.
Okay.
we want to encourage you as well to not only find out more about WRCT, but to audition and be a part of things at WRCtheater.org, WRCtheater.org. And it's a Monday. You know what that means? It's a Muppet Monday.
Muppy.
Let's get Muppy, everybody. Check out What the Muppet, the podcast my oldest daughter Bria and I do together. We have a lot of fun with this podcast. We've done about 32 episodes so far.
Isn't that amazing?
It's been crazy. And we appreciate all the support from all you guys. And those of you longtime listeners, thank you so much for the continuing of support that you've given us. I have to warn everybody, this week's episode, Thong Haywire, is the silliest, weirdest episode we have done and may do.
Great name.
It's
I love
wild.
The title.
It is a wild episode. It is hilarious. I defy you to listen to it and not laugh. I defy you to.
I can't wait.
If you get a chance, I don't know most people, if you like the audio, if you like the video of it, whatever you do, I will encourage you to check out the video this week's episode for just to see Bria's face. She says something and she catches herself in just so red faced. God, I love my daughter. I love her.
Fabulous.
Be sure to check out What the Muppet wherever you get your podcasts. And again, if you would like the visual to go along with it, you can catch our YouTube page. Just go into YouTube, type in there your search bar, What the Muppet. And thank you very much to everybody that supports the show.
Awesome.
We are going to get to our commercial break. Go ahead and play some of our local and statewide news. When we come back, we will begin our series of interviewing candidates. We will first up have Tom Terry Muse, a candidate for Wisconsin Rapids Mayor, coming up right here on WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, Locally Grown Radio. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. And we are going to kick off our series now. Throughout the week here on the morning show, we are going to be interviewing different candidates for our local positions that we have open. We have two candidates for Wisconsin Rapids Mayor. We also have a couple of candidates for Wisconsin Rapids School Board joining us, along with our candidates for Nakusa Mayor position. So while we're doing this, I have a couple things I want to encourage everybody to do. For one, be sure to bookmark, if you haven't done so already, myvotewi.gov, myvotewi.gov. That is the website to go to find out more about voting and to make sure that you are able to vote, where to vote, all of the above. And of course, reach out to us if you have questions or feedback. Love to hear from you. james.maloff@civicmedia.us. Anything you have to say, please feel free to reach out to me and say it. We are welcoming in as our first guest, Tom Terry Muse, candidate for Wisconsin Rapids Mayor. Tom, this is your second time with us. This is old hat for you now. I'm sure that you're all used to this and everything. You enjoy coming on the radio, I imagine.
I do. I actually do enjoy talking,
okay, good. That's
believe
good.
It or not. So.
Tom, I'm going to ask the same questions to you as I am Matt when he joins us. And the first question I have is maybe the toughest one I'm going to ask. How has this experience been? I ask that in part because, as I know you know and we've talked about, Matt and I have talked about, I've talked about this with all of our local candidates, really. We are always looking for more people to get into public service. And we are getting less and less good quality candidates to do said jobs. So I want people to understand a little bit of the behind the scenes and what it is like to run for office. So how has the experience been for you?
The deeper I've gotten, the more concerning it has become. Obviously, going, you know, to your daily lives and stuff like that, you don't really pay attention to politics. Mm-hmm. And once you start diving into it, seeing what's going on to the area, seeing how other people are being affected within the area, it gets to be more important of getting involved. So going to the meetings over the last year at City Hall, little details that I picked up is what got me interested. Honestly, talking to the current mayor now, and seeing what's happening in the federal government has really brought me to that point where some people might just want to turn and look the other way and not have to deal with it. I want to dive into it. That's just kind of my demeanor. So,
second question. And this one comes to our from our community, asking people since the four candidates for mayor were announced. I've been asking the community, just polling people, what are your concerns? What are things that you want the me to ask our candidates about? And the it's hard to say the number one overall, but I would say the main one that was brought up was jobs. And that's pretty much something that if you were running for mayor 10 years from now, or if you were running for mayor 10 years ago, you were going to get this question. So when it comes to jobs are one of our main questions being asked. How can we bring more business to this area? How do we attract good companies?
Well, first of all, that has been a concern for multiple administrations since basically the mill properties have sold. With the steady decline of our good quality paying jobs in our area, industry hasn't necessarily come in to replace those jobs. So while we have a large population that is basically functioning on a two-person income home type of thing, the idea of somebody working and raising their kids and still having money left over is a major concern, not only here but across the United States. It's also impeding some of our younger individuals because of the adults filling in some of the jobs that aren't necessarily requiring any kind of college education. They're filling jobs that are more entry level. So even some of our youth, when they come out of high school, if they're not automatically going off to college, they have to leave the area to go find work. It's very concerning. Again, as a citizen, I've reached out to multiple different businesses throughout the United States, seeing if they'd be interested in actually coming to Wisconsin Rapids. And they've had the same questions of like, you know, what do you have to offer? Can we be profitable in your community? Is there a workforce? And when I tell them that, yes, we have a workforce with the industry being gone, we have qualified individuals that are ready to go back to a qualified job. When they ask about the taxes and stuff like that and they research it, they see that our region is actually comparably lower to the regions they're in now, so it is more of a profitable type situation. And then also the business that we already have here in Wisconsin Rapids, it also supports it. So we have the infrastructure. We just don't have the companies here to do it. So jobs is a very important thing for every family. And my goal is to make it to where every single income in Wisconsin Rapids, no matter what your schooling level is, we have more qualified more quality jobs. Mm-hmm. So not knocking any business whatsoever, but jobs that offer insurance, more income than it takes to actually purchase a home. If we look at our medium home incomes in the area compared to what people are making, majority of our community cannot afford to buy a home. Mm-hmm. And that should be the American dream. So that's what I've been fighting for. And those are the type of things that I'll be bringing with me in the office.
What do you see as the mayor's role and responsibilities?
The mayor's role is actually to be kind of the boss. Obviously, the different departments at City Hall, we have individuals that are experienced in those specific fields. The mayor needs to be kind of a jack of all trades, where he can go in, talk to each one of the department heads, help them figure things out, and then communicate that between society, between our voters. So being accountable for how our taxpayer money is being spent in City Hall through each one of the departments, outside of even the budget proposal that is voted on by the council, and also being able to direct the council. One of the responsibilities of the mayor is to bring things to the council through the agenda, through conversations, to actually be voted on. And just that's one of the things that I believe both Matt and I believe that we need to kind of combine together. We have a few disputes that are going on within our representatives, and that kind of needs to be brought together. We all need to get on the same page, and that goes for our entire city administration. We need to get everybody focused on one goal, to either bring in new industry, more jobs, address the issues that we have not over the last 25 years. So that's the focus that I have going in and the responsibility that I believe going in. And then also the platform I'm running on. Every single sworn official in our community, they say the oath. Mm-hmm. And to bring the constitutional rights to our citizens is the number one thing. Without that, we can just forget about doing anything else. We have to have that basic standard before we can actually work from that point. That's exactly where I'm going to start. Mm-hmm. We need to go back and check over our ordinances, the policies that we're practicing now to see if they're actually constitutional. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, once that's established, we can move forward with that foundation. And that will bring a lot more into the area.
Speaking with Mayor, Wisconsin Rapids mayoral candidate Tom Terry Muse. Tom, what distinguishes you from other candidates?
I would say the top one is obviously I was born and raised here. I've been experiencing the transition that our community has gone through from being a fairly wealthy mill town to the position it is now, struggling. With my military background, being in the workforce, I also worked in the paper mill industry for approximately 15 years. I'm fairly well diverse. I was a manager at multiple different small businesses here in town. I've always had jobs that interacted with the public. And through that, I believe I can relate to more of a population. I've had points where I've been struggling just like everybody else is, and I also have been fairly well off. I've been lucky enough to technically retire early. Not many 50-year-olds can say that. So I do know what it takes to struggle. Obviously, just like anybody else, living on ramen noodles and pizza to the point where, now it's steak and lobster occasionally. So I can relate to the situation where people are living paycheck to paycheck. And I believe that approximately 60% of our population are in that situation. And I intend on trying to get that fixed.
Mm. Tom, if elected, how do you plan to involve the community in your decision making?
One of the things I just, this last week, I actually named it, is a mayoral public advisory committee or commission. Well, just like you said, it's very hard to get people to actually show up at the meetings. The mayor is allotted a certain amount of money each year that he can spend without actually getting an approval to what he spends it on. So for approximately $10,000, previous administrations have used it for like office equipment or so on and so forth. That's taxpayer money. So to actually get people involved and get more of an outreach in the community through this commission, that $10,000 I would actually be using to pay individuals of our community to come in to be part of the mayoral advisory commission. So whatever portion of the city they're from, whether they're in business or if they're somebody at the library, kind of work out of a lottery. So of 18,000 people, we can't have that many people on an advisory board. But we can kind of have anybody that's interested bring their names in, call it in to City Hall. I would have Emily Kent kind of basically keep a track of the names coming in. And each month or every quarter, depending on how we go forward with our city council meetings, I would pick names or draw names to have, say, 20 people on an advisory board each month to tell me their concerns, what they're hearing in rumor mill, so if we can direct that to make sure that they know the facts and also hear some of the things that are concerning of our citizens. So you don't have to wait every 2 years to nominate somebody else to represent you. You're going to have a chance every single month to basically come in and voice your opinions outside of the actual council meetings. So instead of having to call your aldermen and, voice your concerns, they might not be able to answer your question. They might say, I'm going to have to research this and take it to the departments and that. This way, we're going to have a direct connection between the citizens and the mayor. Not saying that the council is going to be bypassed within the decision making, but it's just going to create another avenue of where citizens have a way to voice their opinion. Many people don't want to necessarily say anything because they're afraid of retaliation, either from friends or the local government. So this would be something that I could either do one-on-one with individuals, or we could do it in a small group setting, just so we get more people involved. And I believe out of that, we're going to get more of the citizens interested in politics to where we can fill future positions later on. Mm. So that is just one of the things that I kind of introduced on one of my Facebook pages this week. Mm-hmm. Again, it's just one of the solutions.
We're running a low on time, Tom, but I do want to give you at least 30 seconds, 45 seconds here for final thoughts. Why should people cast their vote for you?
I can relate. And I believe that I have the direction to replace some of the stuff that previous administrations haven't done. I believe both Matt and I have the right goal Just how we get there is a little bit different between the two of us. So if you get a chance, look me up on Facebook, on different Facebook groups, Wisconsin Rapids Concerned Citizens. You can track along exactly what my thoughts are, my critiquing of different videos and stuff like that. You judge as a voter, you judge for yourself if I'm the representative that you like to see or if it was Matt. Hmm. That's simple as that.
Hmm. Greatly appreciate the time. This is the second time you've joined us, Tom. I appreciate you being here in studio and appreciate you giving of your time. I know you're even in retirement, probably a busy guy, so appreciate you being here with us today.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much, James.
Again, myvotewi.gov encourage you to bookmark that page and find out all you need to know about how to vote and get your cast your vote out there. We'll come back and we'll be joined by Chris Inda, Wisconsin Rapids School Board candidate, coming up on WFHR's Morning Show. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Have your host, James, and we are interviewing candidates for Wisconsin our positions here in Wisconsin Rapids. And right now, we have Wisconsin Rapids School Board candidate Chris Inda with us. Chris, thanks for being here.
Thanks, James. Nice to be here.
Want to make sure to get make use of our time and have a handful of questions that we'll be asking you, the same kind of questions we'll be asking our other school board candidates. First up, though, Chris, I want to ask, have you enjoyed this process? We're always encouraging more and more people to get into public service, to run for office, to run for these things, but we're seeing less and less people doing so. So I'm just trying to give people a little bit of a behind the curtain look. Have you enjoyed the process?
Absolutely. I think it's great to get out there, meet different people, share, you know, what their concerns are. And just learn, you know, what the community's, you know, hopes and dreams are, I guess, as far as the school board's concerned.
What are your, what do you believe are the intentions of the primary role of a school board member?
Yeah, so school board certainly, I think number one is education for our students, our children. You know, certainly then we have the look out for taxpayers. And then, our faculty as well, make sure they're supported properly. Want to take into account all those different aspects when looking to serve on the school board. Hmm.
If you are elected to the school board, what are your goals?
Yeah, so one of my biggest goals is transparency is one. I think a lot of people, for different reasons, don't know quite what's going on with their school board, with their school district, with their specific school. So just creating more awareness as far as what's going on, but also want to be, when we get down to it, look into the academics of where we're at and want to make this school district the really a destination place that people want to bring their children because it's performing so well. Yeah, like many other areas, we've seen a decline in the outcomes based on several factors, but largely COVID issues and that gap. So addressing that, bringing that back up, not only to maybe where it was, but better. We've seen a reduction in literacy. In other areas as well, mathematics, of course, but. Yeah, making sure we look at those topics. And then, like I mentioned before, watching out for some taxpayer, interest. There's been some, we can get into this in just a minute, but there's been some recent school board has approved different actions that I think taxpayers need to be aware of.
How do you plan to include parents, teachers, the community in your decision making if you are elected?
Right. As far as parents, we've got different events coming up. We've got some meet and greets coming up. I want to meet with as many people as possible. I'm going door to door as much as I can. I want to talk to these parents. I want to, include them in this. It's a representative position, and I want to, take that seriously and be representative of the community. So meeting as many parents as possible, and same with our teachers. You can't make decisions if you're not understanding what the concerns are and what support these the teachers need. So have already obviously done some meetings with different faculty, staff, teachers, have a good feel for what some of the concerns are, but continuing that conversation moving forward. You know, it should be an open door. We should be able to meet as much as we can.
What distinguishes you from other candidates, Chris?
All right. So a couple of things. I think some unique qualities, unique experiences that I have that maybe others don't. You know, for one, I do have two children in the school district. I'd be the only one on the school board with children in the school district. Just to understand, you know, the current situations and maybe issues that they're facing. You know, I've got, like I said, two small elementary school children, and want the best for them. I've also, you know, background veteran, U.S. Army, and being able to, you know, collaborate with people of many different backgrounds. You know, we come together in the Army. We're all coming from different areas of the country. We're, you know, serving together. We've got one goal in mind, and we've got to learn to work together and trust each other and you know, make you know, whatever mission happen. So, and you know, then you know, supporting different various organizations here in the community, specific to whether it was with Rotary when I served there and supporting different education scholarships. I've drawn a blank on the other organization, but
it always happens when you need it, doesn't it?
Also being involved, though, just in, you know, the community through United Way. You know, so being in touch with what's going on, I think, here certainly helps.
Final question, Chris. Why should voters cast their ballot for you? What are your final thoughts for today?
Well, one of the things, and when we talk about transparency, maybe that I wanted to bring up, and I think this just needs more attention, is the last school board meeting, there was a agreement passed that there's a solar company, a solar farm company looking to build out in the town of Grant. And so they've provided an agreement to the school district to offer a substantial amount of funds for an extended period of time. And whether your feelings are, however they go with solar and the agreement, you know, that wasn't really my biggest concern. What it was is what I know, there was nobody from the company, no representative there to ask questions, to ask why, to, you know, understand what their motivation was. You know, I think a lack of discussion with the company regarding the reasons behind this offer should have been addressed. I think, you know, having that accountability, that transparency, like I talk about, this, you know, their company, they're not a local company. They're not necessarily, you know, part of the community yet anyway. And so I think it's just more of a discussion needed to be had to understand what the reason for it was. And it may turn out to be a great thing. But I just felt it was done quickly, done a little short with, you know, regards to where the money's coming from and what the you know, agreement looks like. So, you know, again, more transparency, yeah, watching out for the taxpayers and you know, in that regard.
Excellent. Chris, really appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining us. Good luck going forward.
Appreciate the time. Thank you, James.
We'll have the rest of our candidates joining us this week. Looking forward to that. Just keep in mind today, Tuesday at 9:50, Kate Medina will join us, Wisconsin Rapids School Board candidate. On Wednesday at 9:50, we'll have the other Wisconsin Rapids mayoral candidate, Matt Zacher, with us. On Thursday, 9:35, Nakusa mayoral candidate, Al Marco. And then at 9:50 on Thursday, our final Wisconsin School Board candidate, Maddie Palmquist, will be joining us. Again, find out more information and be up to date on your voting. Make sure that you are all registered and ready to go. MyVote.WI.gov, MyVote.WI.gov. Be sure to go to that. Be sure to join us a little bit later today for Playmakers from 3 to 4. We'll have GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, join us. We're going to talk as we build the team up to get ready for the Nationals coming up as they head to New York. We'll be doing that right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.